And we're back, Strike Show Podcast on a Wednesday. Familiar face there in the screen. We'll get to him here in a second. Strike Show Podcast brought to you by Encore Golf. Encore designs high-performance golf ball for players of all skill levels and swing speeds. Daniel Rappaport, Golf Digest, joins us here on a Wednesday. He's got a couple boxes of Vero X1 waiting for him when he gets back. But first, he's got a little work to do. There's one more tournament left on the schedule. This guy's been all over the place during the super season. Someone give him some time off. Daniel, live from Eastlake. How you doing, bud?
Good, good. It's a lot nicer today.
Yesterday was kind of a wash. It was raining all day. I don't think anyone really played in holes or didn't practicing. So this kind of feels like the one prep day. So everyone's out there. The sun is shining. One more week, only 30 guys. And it's interesting because there's so much on the line this week. You have $15 million in the FedEx Cup. But, like, it's a pretty chill week. You know, you have 30 guys. And it's just there seems to be kind of a low-key atmosphere, which is kind of strange given – I mean, everyone who's here is doing well, I guess. So that's – no one's grinding for their card or anything. So they're all into the majors next year. They're all into every tournament they want. This is the cream of the crop. They don't have much to be upset about.
Well, as long as they're not being called Brooksy, right, which we'll get to here in a second. That's
a good point.
Is a topic of concern. But I got to ask you about the course. Eastlake, I've been there. I've played it. This golf course is much more difficult than what we've seen in the last 2 weeks, and particularly last week, Caves Valley. They just completely undressed it with a great finish there. Cantlay moves all the way up to one. Bryson right there as well. But Eastlake, little rain. Usually the rough's pretty thick. How do you think it's going to play this week?
Yeah, the rough is an interesting kind of rough. Like it's the kind of rough where the ball, it's not so long. It's not going to cover your ankles, but the ball sinks. It doesn't sit up on top. Not a lot of flyers. It comes out, you know, kind of dead, unpredictable. So I think that's the golf course's defense. And I was talking actually to the superintendent yesterday, Ralph Keppel, and he said, look, you know, we have sub-air, but when you get all the rain that they got yesterday and just all the heat, humidity, there's only so much you can do. So it's all going to depend on how much the sun shines and how much the wind blows. That, he said, is the key to the course firming up. The sun is shining and the wind is blowing right now. So he's getting his wish. But yes, I agree. I don't think we're going to see – I know that the staggered scoring – but if we get rid of the staggered scoring, I don't think you're going to see anyone shoot 20 under par this week.
No.
But there was a lot of rain, so it could happen again. I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't. I mean, Xander was 15 under last year. These guys are so good that if there's any kind of softness, the course is dead because the fairways play wide. And when the fairways play wide, it's target practice for these guys.
I want to get to the Ryder Cup here in a second. This is going to be a USA Ryder Cup preview as we – continue the build up here right around the corner, the 43rd plan of the Ryder Cup. Whistling Straits here. What are we? Just a couple weeks away now from
yeah,
that.
3 weeks. 3 weeks from now. Yeah.
Yeah. 3 weeks. Excuse me. But the news came down. Jay Monahan, the commissioner, he says, look, you yell the name Brooksy at Eastlake this week and it's angled toward Bryson. You're out of there. What do you think?
I think he kind of, look, the tour protects its players. That's no secret, right? They don't release information about suspensions and, you know, they try and kind of brand everybody as a nice, great, awesome guy. And that's their brand. That's what they've done. And they've been pretty successful doing it. You know, the ratings are pretty good and the money is ever growing. So I understand what Monahan was trying to do. He was trying to stick up for one of the players who, look, Bryson's like, I think he's 27, maybe 28. Like, he's going to be around for a long time. He's one of the best players in the world. You know, despite all the hoopla, he's was right up there in a playoff event. He's won a major. He's not going anywhere. So Monahan wants to show him, like, hey, I'm here for you. We're gonna do what you can. So I understand what he was trying to do. On the flip side, if you're the kind of person who's going to yell Brooksy at Bryson during a golf tournament, don't you think that hearing like, oh, you're going to get kicked out or it's not like, that's going to make you want to do it more or at least heckle him more, call him something else. Like, are we stopping this at Brooksy? You know, what if someone calls him like, I don't know, I'm not, whatever, some other name. Are they going to kick him out for that? Is it just a Brooksy rule or is it a judgment call? I mean, I'm really interested. I'm going to follow him around on Thursday and see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how the tour is going to enforce this. There's a lot of people that are going to be here this week. And unless you have vigilantes or, you know, narcs in the crowd, like I just don't see how it's going to happen. And I think the only way that this is going to change, if fan behavior is going to change now, is like if Brooks comes out and says something like, hey, you know, this was fun, but like, let's basically call off the dogs. I think short of that, you know, I think it actually could get worse, at least in the immediate after that.
Well, I think so. What do you think? You start getting alcohol involved and, you know, Bryson on the first page of the leaderboard with Brooks. I mean, you know, I think we haven't seen the worst of it yet, unfortunately. I hear what you're saying about protecting Bryson. You know, Bryson certainly is going to have to do some things here in the off season to help himself, you know, from a PR standpoint and going at it from that way. But yeah, I think I'm sure been encouraged from the commissioner when he talked to Brooks, like, we've got to diffuse this because there is policy when a player goes out into the public like this and exposes another player the way Brooks did. There's policy at the tour that's frowned upon. And I'm curious if, you know, Brooks has had some kind of suspension or fine, you know, when it comes to that, because he certainly has broken some policy from there. We could talk about this, you know, all day. It doesn't seem to be going away. It just seems to be getting amplified. But I would think some diffusing from the players has had to happen or is going to have to happen at some point to start tempering this a little bit. And Brooks could certainly do a lot of good when it comes to that, just like when he poured gasoline on it, when he rewarded those that got kicked out with beer. I mean, that's where this whole thing started. And, you know, the bullying really from Brooks started to take place. Do you think we're going to see any kind of diffusing from the player?
It's kind of already started. Just like an hour ago, we were doing our press conference with Rory, and he kind of, you know, I'd say he stood up for Bryson. He basically said, look, like, he's not blameless in this. He's certainly done things and said things that bring this upon himself to some extent. But what he said was, I feel sympathy for him because it's hard to be Bryson DeChambeau right now. He's different. That's very clear. And he has his opinions, and they're different from what a lot of people think. And what Rory said was, I don't think anyone should be ostracized or made fun of for being different. Now, that's what they're actually making fun of, what they're picking on Bryson for. That's a separate story. But he said that he feels sorry for him. And he said, look, I don't know if anyone else on tour has spoken out for him, but I'm going to speak out for him right now. And then Patrick Cantlay was up next, and he gave this awesome answer where he basically said was, this is kind of a symptom of the PIP culture. You know, and when you basically told these guys, like, hey, we're going to pay you for attention. We're going to pay you for engagement. We're going to pay you for being talked about on the news and Meltwater mentions, whatever it is. People were going to look for attention. And, you know, I think he's right. You know, like, this is what happens when you incentivize attention, you incentivize a circus. Sometimes it leads to the wrong type of attention. And it kind of gets at like a philosophical debate in golf is like, is golf different from other sports? Right? Because in other sports, this is nothing. Mm-hmm. This is part of it. But, and Morikawa, Colin said this earlier today too, like golf is different, you know, respect is built into our game and we expect a certain conduct from players and we expect a certain conduct from fans. So it's just an interesting dynamic of like, does golf want to try to be more like these other sports and play up these sort of rivalries, or does it want to stick with what it's always been, which is, you know, this gentleman's game, whatever you want to call it?
Well, I think the tour has spoken. I think it's the latter. You know, I think that's kind of where they are. They're gonna protect at all costs, and they're not gonna lean in, you know, when it comes to a rivalry that maybe has crossed the line to your point of golf standard versus it wouldn't even hit the news in other sports, you know, when we're talking about calling someone a name that's not even a vulgar situation.
Yeah, it's not derogatory.
Yeah, it's not derogatory at all. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think as we kind of spin this forward to the Ryder Cup, Stricker is going to have to address the team. There's going to be everyone in the room. It's going to be the elephant in the room, and he's going to have to say something to the team about it, I think, at least. He's going to have to address it out of the gate. I know he's had the conversation with each of them individually, but I think there has to be something up front saying, look, this is our goal. This is what we're after. I know this has happened you know, how do you think he addresses the group after now he's addressed them individually as they go into a team competition in 3 weeks?
It's already built. If they lose, it's already, that's what people are going to talk about. It's already there. It's a column waiting to be written on Monday morning after the Ryder Cup, that disarray within Team USA room or lack of unity. And I'll tell you what, like the happiest guy watching this whole thing play out is Patrick Harrington. He's like, let them go at each other. Like they clearly don't like each other. You know, they're not completely bought in. And I think, you know, if you watched, I'm not saying you didn't, but just saying, you know, if you watched the BMW on Sunday, like Cantlay and Bryson didn't seem to have much to talk about. I think Bryson calling him out, saying, "Hey, Patrick, can you stop walking?" And then there was this shot of them in the playoff. I don't remember when it was, where they were walking directly next to each other toward the camera for like 30 or 40 yards. Neither of them even considered looking at the other person. It was right. It was competitive. So you've got a guy who qualified automatically. So he took it out of circus. It's been really interesting if you want to bring that circus into this. But Bryson qualified automatically, so he's going to be there. Yeah, he's gonna have to figure it out. He's going to have to figure out who's going to play with him. You know, because you can't sit them all four sessions. You're going to sit and figure out, you know, how are we going to put the team ahead of this? And I think he said he spoke to both of them individually, like you mentioned, and Brooks agreed, like he's not going to say anything. And I don't think Brooks is going to say anything between now and then. But it's going to be very interesting to see if Brooks and Bryson, maybe Stricker tells them, "Hey, you guys need to like sit down without anyone else in the room and iron this out, figure it out." I don't know if Brooks would be willing to do that. I don't know if Bryson would be willing to do that, but they have to come to some sort of resolution. Otherwise, it's a story that's going to linger all week. And if they lose, I don't know if Stricker will probably fall on the sword because he's the captain, but if they lose, that is all anyone's going to talk about, is, you know, Team USA hated each other and that's why they lost, and the Europeans love each other and that's why we continue to lose.
It's funny. We're talking about all this animosity. We haven't even talked about Patrick Reed yet, who was just dropping bombs on the way out to the team in France, you know, 3 years. Wow. So, all right, let's get to it here. I know we've got a lot to play out here this week, the Tour Championship. They're playing for $15 million. We'll follow that. Top 30. Reed is there. He's 30th. But as we transition now to a little Ryder Cup preview here, The top six are in. Okay. That last week was the last to qualify for your automatic bid in. After those six, then Stricker next week, the captain, will pick the other six. So the ones that are in, we know Colin Morikawa is in. He's number one. I want to start with him. Last 2 weeks, he hadn't played good. Missed the cut, Northern Trust, 63rd at the BMW. When you look at Colin, you listen to him, how much is the back an issue, and how much do you think he's fatigued? He looks tired to me. Where do you think Colin is? He needs some rest after this before we see him at Whistling Straits. Do you agree?
That's absolutely right. I don't know if he's going to play Wentworth for the BMW PGA. I don't think he is. So if he doesn't, that would be, I think, 2 full weeks off, which for someone who's 24 years old should be more than enough. But yeah, no, he said that he started feeling pain at the Olympics. And sorry, buzzers are starting to get a little louder, but he started feeling pain at the Olympics, and he got into some bad habits where he wasn't turning through. He said, I just spoke to Rick Testinghouse yesterday, he said that Colin's hips, instead of turning, were kind of thrusting toward the ball. His arms were getting behind him. He was getting stuck, and he was kind of hitting this like flippy draw that he hasn't hit since he was a kid. And when you're someone who really has one shot shape like Colin Morikawa does, and that's a cut, you start hitting draws, that's worrying. So he said he started feeling better when he came back to the States, but the bad habits that he got into when he was compensating for the pain kind of lingered around. And that's what he said was the problem at Liberty National. But he worked with Rick at BMW. He still finished near the bottom, but his stats were pretty good on Sunday, on the weekend, as far as balls were. He didn't putt well. But I wouldn't be surprised if he contends this week. I just think it was kind of like a thing that happens. You know, you get into some bad habits, and you sort it out with your coach. And you know, it was not long ago that we were talking about Colin as the greatest, you know, player who's ever lived after he won the British Open. So it's just, you know, things go up and down. I would not be concerned, especially with a couple of weeks of rest coming after this.
You know, Dustin Johnson, he's number two and he's in. We know that. DJ, you know, close to, let's see, probably close to a 500 record. He's 7-9-0 in the Ryder Cup. He was six last week, and I see this little trend of DJ's putting starting to go up, which is good. Anytime I see DJ starting to roll the rock, I get excited. Approach game hasn't been real clean, but DJ seems to be trending at least the right way. Bryson is three. We know he played very well last week. I think Whistling Straits will be set up to Bryson's liking, as it will be Koepka at four, as it will be at JT at five. JT just missing the putter a little bit. It's been a tough year for JT. You know, you've been out there curious. There's definitely been some frustration for Justin after he won the Players this year. It's been not a good year, and it's mainly been aided by a putter, which, as I understand, earlier in the year, he switched coaches, and like I think he's like in between, and he's having a hard time finding his way back, and even desperate mode, trying to go back to a putter that he used to use when he was a junior player.
Let's take a second to talk about the folks over at Encore Golf. Encore has earned a reputation across the golf industry and with golfers everywhere for its combination of value, performance, and customer service. Their team in Buffalo, New York, is flipping the script on golf technology through perimeter-weighted balls made with the high-density particles and proprietary nanotransitional layer, offering players enhanced accuracy, control, and distance. Encore recently added the Vero X1 to its suite of award-winning golf balls, one that already included the Golf Digest gold-rated Elixir and low-compression Avant 55. Through its full suite of golf balls, Encore can help transform any golfer's game. Visit EncoreGolf.com/Travis Fulton for more info about Encore and start revolutionizing your game. Now back to the Stripe Show podcast.
Yeah, the putter's been an issue for, I mean, the reason he switched coaches, he went away from Matt Killen and the guy who he went to, the name is escaping me, but yeah, I mean, you don't switch putting coaches if you're feeling good about your putting. So start there. And that was a long time ago, and it has not been pretty since. So yeah, I think, look, it was obviously a really tough start to the year with his comments that he made and losing his sponsorship, and then he lost his grandfather, which also he was super close to. It did feel like that win at the Players was going to be like a turning point. Like, okay, he's putting that behind him, but he's just run into a wall since. And he's got kind of this, like, I don't know. He was really disappointing in the big events this year, apart from the Players. You know, T21 at the Masters, he missed a cut at Kiowa. T19 at the U.S. Open was never a factor, and T40 at the Open Championship. So, you know, when you're a player of his caliber, you got to show up for the majors, and he simply hasn't done it. He hasn't really contended for one since he won the PGA in 2017. So he's been, it'll be 5 years coming in the next year. So yeah, you know, you don't want to say it's a lost year because he won the Players. I mean, that's a huge, huge, huge tournament. So, I mean, that will be on his resume forever, right? But you want the consistency, and he has not been delivering it.
Yeah, he's five, and there's Cantlay at six, who moved all the way up. He automatically qualifies. I think you have to be careful with Cantlay. I thought he was in before. He was at 12 before last week. Then he wins. He moves all the way up to six. What we saw last week was the greatest putting performance in the strokes gained era, positive 14.6. And I think when you see stuff like that, like we saw it with speed, like we know that can't, like that's not going to sustain. I mean, he hasn't even sniffed anywhere near that, even half of that this year. I saw if he was the putt positive, let's say if he putted like he did at the Northern Trust, which was positive two, he finished 11th. He would have lost by seven.
It's a great stat.
You know, I mean, like just to give you perspective of how he usually putts, right? Like that's how dominant Bryson was with his driver. Now Bryson putted good too. He was positive eight. So you gotta factor that in, but that's just how dominant he was with the driver. His iron game was still okay. His short game still was an issue, but driver putter was like just incredible. So Cantlay is going to be solid. Let's just pump the brakes. Like Cantlay's not going to putt like that every single week or every single day. Like we can't expect that, but he's in at six. Finau is at seven. He's in. Right? Tony Finau's in. I think we can.
No question.
All agreed to that. I mean, there was no one happier than Steve Stricker than when Finau won that tournament. Do you agree? No one happier.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was in either way, despite kind of before the Northern Trust, kind of a weird summary. I don't think he had a top 10 in his like seven starts before that, and where he was finishing second every week in the beginning of the season, and then he kind of hit a wall. But yeah, you know, just a big game, like a lot of birdies. And an intimidating guy. He makes it look so easy. He was actually good in France, which is not many guys on the U.S. team can say that. I think he was 2-1 that week. Super nice guy. Everyone likes him. Like he was a no-brainer. It would have been a little bit of a tougher thing to justify if he put up a couple clunkers, but mm-hmm. he won. And then I think he shot 63 on Sunday at Caves Valley. So he wasn't near the lead, but he's in really good form. He's in. He knows he's in. That's the thing. Like he knows it. Everyone knows it. I think really
Xander's at 8. He's in. Four.
Yeah, I mean he's in, and you know Spieth is in.
Okay.
And you know, so I think Harris English is in too. So you're
Harris
really
is at 10.
Right. So you're really leaving. You got two spots then for Patrick Reed, Webb Simpson, Daniel Berger, Scotty Scheffler. I'm going to bat for Kevin Na. It's not going to happen. But
interesting.
I honestly think that he would be a more value add than someone like Webb Simpson. I mean, I know there was all this talk about the other Kevin Kisner, but he's just been playing too bad since then. Yeah. It's not even, we don't need to get into that. But Kevin Na is playing really well. He finished second at the John Deere. I think he finished second in the WGC. He finished second in the John Deere, T23 in the WGC, T2 at the Wyndham, T8 at the Northern Trust, T17 at the BMW Championship. And I hear like, oh, the course is not set up for him. But like Caves Valley wasn't set up for him either, right? I mean, it's long and wet. And you could say the same thing about Liberty National. And I actually asked him at Liberty National, I was like, what do you say to the people who say, oh, the course is too long for you? Like, you know, you're not a good fit. And he said, the way I'm putting right now, it doesn't matter where I play. And that's the kind of guy, like, he can be a guy who could be the American answer to someone like Ian Poulter, someone who is going to get under their skin in a way that no one else on the team really can. He's not afraid to get in people's faces, as you saw at the match play. He went up to DJ and basically lectured DJ, which was kind of a wild move, but he didn't think twice about it. And, you know, he's chipping in from off the green. He's walking in putts. Like, I think his personality is perfect for this event. He's playing great. He's putting great. Give it a shot. I mean, one wild card on the team, you know, at least one.
Yeah, that's interesting. That kind of catches me off guard a little bit. Kevin Na, so you said a lot. Let's back up just for a minute here for the audience. All right, so we've got the top six in. I think we all agree that Finau is in at 7, Xander is in at 8, Spieth is in at 9, Harris is in at 10. I think that's pretty safe at this point. Harris won twice. Resurgence of Spieth. I think of that group, the one that concerns me is Xander, to be honest, the one I just mentioned. I just feel like Xander's kind of ailing a little bit since the gold medal. But we know what he can do, right? We know what Xander's capable of. Those guys are in. All right, so to your point, we have these last two spots, right? And that's where it's going to come down to. We'll start with Patrick Reed for a second, because I think before the injury and the bilateral pneumonia, I felt Patrick was in, but he hasn't played. Now there's a lot to look at here with Patrick. You've seen him. Have you seen him on property?
Has he lost weight? He looked a little skinny. I will say that.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was in the hospital for a while.
He has to be skinny, weak. He's going to have to play back into this. So this Patrick Reed thing is really fascinating to me. And I feel like Stricker is going to ask, or has already asked, the other players, the 10 that we just mentioned, who do you think should get those spots? I think he's going to ask him. I think he's going to get some feedback. Do you want him on the team? Do you not want him? And I think the feedback that he gets from the players, considering what happened in France, is going to have a lot of weight in whether or not Patrick Reed gets picked. Because let's face it, I mean, he's got four rounds here. He can't have a lot of expectations here for this week for Patrick Reed, considering what has happened the last few weeks. Let's be fair. But we know what he's done. You know, it hasn't been as great late in the Ryder Cup for him. but we know what he's capable of. What happened in France, I think weighed on some people, and I think there's going to be some feedback given, and I think that's going to pull some weight for Stricker on Reed. What do you think?
I think you're probably right. I think the reason he's playing this week, because you know, he would have got his bonus no matter what. The reason he's, and he's, you know, 10 shots back, he's not winning. The reason he's playing this week is to try and show Stricker, like, I'm, because if he didn't play this week, I think it was done.
It's done. Playing.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to get a pick. So I think if he plays poorly, Stricker has a really easy out now. You know, if he was playing well, and, you know, let's say that you're right, and that the guys, you know, maybe behind closed doors say, look, it was too much drama. I don't want to deal with it. I didn't like the way that he dealt with France. Yada yada yada. If that's how they feel, it's hard. It's still hard to justify him not being on the team if he's playing great. But now there's this. He's got the injury. And Stricker can say, look, it's just too much uncertainty, and he can beat him off the team without even addressing what happened in France or the team room dynamics. So, but I do think that if he does play well this week, if he finishes, you know, top five or whatever, he's extremely hard to keep off the team. Like, even if those guys say what they want, like, he's extremely hard to keep off the team. Just given his history, given how fiery he is, I think if he plays well, I think he's going to get a pick.
Really? All right. So yeah, you're leaning,
I do.
If Reed shows just any life this week, you're saying Reed and Na. That's your voice.
Well, I don't think Na's getting a pick. It's not.
No, but that you would like to for him to.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally would probably pick. I mean, Na and probably Scottie Scheffler, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going way off the board. I just feel like Chalk is, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm bored with Chalk, but like, I think Scotty's played really, really well in the majors. You know, he's not a super loud personality, but he's definitely got that fire underneath there. Makes a lot of birdies. The guys really like him. I think, you know, bring another young guy on there who hits it a mile and can get really hot. I think he'd be great for the event. And it's an investment in the future, so to speak. Like, he's going to, another guy who's going to be around for a long time, get him in there. But realistically, I think, you know, depending on this week, I think it will probably be Reed and Webb Simpson,
really?
Which is just like going back to the well, and wow. Daniel Berger is going to be a casualty of his own low keyness again.
Wow. That's a lot to take in there.
What do you think?
Well, I think Reed's out.
No matter what.
Yeah, I do. I think he's out. I think he was in before. I think they have an out now. And I think that feedback's going to play into this. All right. He goes out. He's 10 under, 11 under. All right. I mean, we already know Reed can do that. Like, we already know kind of what Reed can do. Is this more, we have so much drama as it is already on the team. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like we're a mess in some degrees with yeah. Brooks and Bryson.
It's a really good point.
Yeah, we're a mess. I mean, it's like now Stricker has to deal with all this BS about someone calling a name. It's like, come on. I feel like this is the kind of stuff I have with my 6-year-old, you know, dad, so-and-so called me this, you know, like really Stricker, Zach Johnson, Jim Furyk. This is the stuff they have to deal with going in, you know, like behind closed doors. I would just love to hear them like, I can't even believe we're going to have this conversation, you know? Anyway, I think we have so much drama. And I think what he did in France, I don't know. I just don't think that sits well. I think the feedback comes in. I think they have the out. I think Reed is out. So given that, I think it comes down to two picks. I don't think they'll pick Webb. I think Webb not making it there was big. He hasn't been 100%. His driver's giving him fits. I think Webb is, it's not the best version of Webb Simpson. This is not Webb Simpson.
People are going to want some. I just think they're going to want some kind of like steady hand experience, but
that's true. And I think like, you know, I think they have some experience up top there. I would love to see from there, the two picks that I think they'll make. That I hope to make. Let me rephrase that. The two picks that I want them to make at this point going in, I do think Berger is valid. His putter scares the daylights out of me. But Scheffler's putter scares the daylight out of me, too. I think Berger's a better iron player. Scheffler can beat you with the driver. And I think the 12th pick for me goes to Burns. I think Burns fits the mold. He's some new blood. I look at Whistling Straits. Here's what I think they're going to set up Whistling Straits like. Or I would set it up long, wet. I mean, I'd water the piss out of it. Wet, no rough, and put the pins damn near in the middle. You know? So what that means is I need length, good iron play, and a good putter. I don't need short game. I don't need it. I got enough guys I can put alternate shot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, short game has value. We know that. But I need someone that can just sling it and is one of the best iron players. And we're going to have relatively easy putts and can get it going with the putter. Burns checks all those boxes for. I mean, Burns is long, accurate, great iron player, great putter. His short game's clunky. So, you know, he checks all the boxes for me. He's playing great. He's fiery. He should have two wins this year, Daniel. I mean, he carried Horschel at Zurich, and they finished, what, second? I mean, Horschel contributes at all. They win that thing. So
also Riviera. I mean, he had like a three-shot lead making the turn at Riviera.
Right.
Wet his pants in his back right. Line, so he's,
yeah. I don't know. He's young, a little fresh blood. Berger scares me, the putter. Scheffler can go cold with the putter, you know, so I default to the iron game, the strokes game, the iron game with Berger. And I think Burns is a complete package. I do.
I think he's the one with the most to gain this week. Like he's the guy who could, you know, quote unquote, steal a spot. Like, you know, the guy who gets really hot late in the season and basically gives the captain no choice. If he wins this week, and when I say win, I meant the lowest 72 all score. If he's right in the top five, you know, if he wins the gross division, then yeah, it's going to be a really, really a tough call for Stricker. He's the one who's helped his case most over the past month. And so it's just funny. Like when these guys start to play well, you start to see little differences. Like, you know, I saw him playing, I can't remember who it was, but he's playing a practice round with the big boys now. I think it was with Cantlay and Shoffley at Liberty National. Like that wouldn't have happened couple months ago, you know, but now it's like, oh, okay, this guy can play. Like this guy might be on the team in a couple weeks. Let's see what he's got. So he's definitely made a leap in tiers. It wouldn't be like completely shocking, but I think he needs a really, really good week. I think he needs to finish up there.
You know, to your point, he was third at Genesis, one Valspar, second at Byron, second at Zurich, second at WGC St. Jude. 21st at the Northern Trust, 8th at the BMW. He hasn't finished negative strokes gained putting since April. He's finished. I mean, he's not JT Morikawa iron player, but he's right under it. He's just under it, and he's a better, and he is an underrated driver of the ball. He's long. I'd love to see some new blood. Burns, Berger. If they pick Webb and Phil, my head will absolutely explode off my body.
I don't think Phil. I mean, I think Phil basically he did them a solid where he basically said don't pick me. Like I'm not. I honestly think if Stricker called Phil and said I want to pick you, I think Phil might say thanks, but no thanks. Like it's just he's not delusional. I think was he dead last week? I think he might have been dead last week.
Yeah, him and Kisner.
There's just no chance.
You know, Scheffler and Berger down the stretch here with this run, the putter's what's let him down. You know, it's those are the things that concern me with those two is they can go really chilly. You know, we know Scheffler will get you off the tee. His iron game is solid compared to what we're talking about, right? I mean, it's obviously awesome. He's on the PGA Tour, but
it's really good. Yeah.
I mean, but comparably speaking to who we're comparing against here, right? And what we need in Whistling Straits. But their putter is what's cost them, you know, as of late. So those are the two, that's the one club that's holding them back. And that's the one club where Burns has them. And I think is the more complete player with that. Your not pick is completely got me thinking.
Yeah, your mind is all over the place.
No, I was expecting you to throw Kisner at me like the Twitter world blowing my head off, like, because I can't, like, they can't wrap their mind around why we wouldn't want Kevin Kisner on the team, because he's, you know, a great match play player. And, you know, and it's like, this isn't the Austin Country Club, right? And the way that he's played the last 2 weeks, he's shot himself in the foot. I mean, there's this, well, you know, and the justification, Dan, of the first week was, you know, he won the Wyndham. He's probably hungover. It's like, well, maybe you shouldn't be hungover if that's the case, if you're trying to get on the Ryder Cup, right? Maybe you should keep playing, if that's the case. I don't know if it was, but that was the justification from Team Kisner in Twitter, which is very logical, very rational, unemotional, all the things that you know Twitter to be. So, but I just, Kisner shot himself in the foot the last 2 weeks. I don't think Horschel quite has the game, what they're looking for in whistling, hasn't done enough. But this whole read is just fascinating to me. It really is. I think he's out. I do. I think he's out. I think he would have to damn near win this thing to be in.
Wouldn't be surprising to me if he does. I mean, I feel like he loves this kind of, right. And I don't know how he's feeling physically. It's obviously a huge asterisk, but he's, you know, I just remember like at the President's Cup when there was that, we also haven't even talked about the President's Cup, the whole fiasco with his caddy, like pushing a fan and the caddy with fans on the ground. Yeah. Like, that was also another thing where I'm sure Tiger was like, are you kidding me, dude? Yeah. Like, come on. But anyways, he comes back with his coach on the bag, and he like, I think birdied 5 of the first 6 holes. Like, he loves it. He absolutely loves it. So I, you know, we'll see how he plays this week. I think if he doesn't play well, he's out. That's for sure.
Yeah.
My saying that he's going to get a pick is predicated on him playing well. But Burns, I think Burns is also an intriguing one. It's going to be really interesting because there's, you know, this probably happens every cycle, but it feels like there's going to be a ton of really good players, or 3 or 4 guys who have legitimate, you know, snub complaints. So, and then they're going to be criticized if we lose, like they always are. And he's going to be praised if we win. That's just how it goes.
Well, we'll start 3 weeks away. We'll get through the Tour Championship here first in Atlanta. Daniel Rappaport with Golf Digest, man, thanks for taking the time. I know you're busy, and go get yourself a seat in Atlanta. Go get yourself a little varsity burger.
Varsity burger. Okay, I'll have to do that. I ordered in Chinese food last night. No, I have not.
Google the varsity.
So, okay.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good week.
Do you feel like you are constantly overshooting greens or coming up short because you choose the wrong club? Well, if that's the case, today is your lucky day, because I'm proud to announce my brand new partnership with the boys over at Pinned Golf. Their brand new Ace rangefinder is amazing, and it's only $199. I've been using it for a couple weeks now, and I was blown away with the quality. It has a slope technology, pin locked vibration technology, so you know exactly when you are locked onto your target, tour level accuracy, and best of all, it is powered by a USB charge, so you can forget about those little batteries every other rangefinder makes you buy. 1 45-minute charge lasts you 50 plus rounds. I love it. Our friends over at Pin Golf are hooking up all of our listeners with $25 off and free shipping when you use code STRIPESHOW. That's code STRIPESHOW. I'm telling you, for $175, you simply cannot beat the Ace rangefinder. Head on over to pingolf.com and get yourself the Ace and get dialed in.